Rhythm Channel One Radio. Rhythm Channel One Radio. Brought to you by McCary Media and Entertainment. This is Rhythm Channel One Radio.
Visit Rhythm Channel One on YouTube.com.
Rhythm Channel One Radio. Rhythm Channel One Radio. Brought to you by McCary Media and Entertainment.
Hello, Diana, are you on the line with us?
Yes, I am.
Well, hello there, and welcome into the first episode of RCO Radio. I'm so excited that you were able to join us this evening. How are you doing, and how's your day been?
Oh, very well. Glad to be on.
Yes, hello, everyone. I'm Crystal McCary, and I'd like to welcome you into our first public radio program for RCO Radio. And invite you to please dial in to ask your questions at 347-850-8107 within the next 30 minutes. The program this evening is about women in sports. As you know, today we can turn on a football game and see women on the sidelines conducting interviews fairly frequently. But many years ago, that was not an opportunity readily available to women. A lot of the women who have paved the way are still unsung. They were the ones who took those first steps into football locker rooms and onto baseball fields and basketball courts. And they were the ones who sat ringside at championship boxing matches as sports writers. On our show this time, we have one of those women, Diana Hicks-Scheer. Over the years, Diana, you've worked behind the scenes as a sports writer covering boxing, football, baseball, and basketball, as well as track and field. And I know later in your career, you worked as the director of marketing and public relations for Forum Boxing here in Southern California. And you actually worked with Marco Barrera, is that correct?
Correct.
Let's welcome you in to the show, not only to discuss your experiences as a woman working in professional sports, but to congratulate you and discuss with you the new book that you're publishing, World Champions Only. It's a fictional book about boxing, and I've read the treatment for it, and it's actually fantastic. It brilliantly captures the work ethic and lives of champion athletes, which you would know a bit about. So let's start at the beginning and let you tell us how you got started in sports and what sparked your early interest in sports writing.
Well, I've always loved writing. General. But how I got involved in sports was really through a friend who was a sports agent, and I just started sort of helping him out, and it just one thing led to another, and before I knew it, I was actually hired by the sports agent, the guy that owned the sports agent, which at the time was Michael Trope, and Michael was really one of the biggest agents in the business, and they handled football players. Basically signed them to NFL contracts. So I worked with them for about 2 years.
Wow, that's a long time. In your work with professional athletes, what side of the business were you initially involved in? Were you in media, marketing, accounting, business?
Actually, I would just say working for a sports agency, you wear like a number of hats. A lot of times you would have to, work with a lot of the top college football players in the country, basically working with recruitment, recruiting them for the agency and actually as clients. So that was a very big part of my job, as well as, pretty much handling a lot of different business type things for the players.
Personal business. So you were involved in player relations?
Well, you could call it that. To call it that, but I would just say that pretty much learned a lot and was working with some of the top sports agents in the business at that time.
And speaking of working with powerhouse sports agents, what specifically about that experience helps you today in your life? What was that like for you?
I've learned how to be very, very resourceful. Understood that a lot of that had to do with your relationships with people. When you were recruiting someone, you had to meet their family, their friends, their girlfriends, their wives, and you had to pretty much have a good relationship with all of these people. So I learned a lot through that, and it was the whole experience in itself was like going to a 4-year college. because you meet so many different people that are doing exceptional things. And so you have an array of people that you can learn different things from. And so I learned probably the key was to build relationships with people.
So PR played a heavy role in your work in building the relationship with the athlete. So there was this comfort level in the support that you had to provide, because I would imagine that you had to know a lot about them, obviously working for the people who represented them.
Correct.
So they did need to trust you. When you're working as a sports writer, were you involved in front of the camera as well or strictly behind the camera?
Well, I would say my first love was sports writing, even though I have done some TV where I've done like cable network show, sports show. But I had a lot of the prominent athletes in L.A. that came on the show, also, you know, people in entertainment. That type of thing. But really behind the scenes was always what I've got my most enjoyment from.
So you enjoy writing and you enjoy the storytelling of the industry.
Correct.
Now, you've worked in many different sports areas. Did you have a favorite?
Well, I never actually did any of the WDA, but I did work in football, baseball, boxing. I would say my after covering the various sports, I would say my favorite was always boxing and football. Loved boxing from the time I was a teenager and went to my first fight, and it was the Thomas Hearns championship fight, and fell in love with boxing at that point. And that just always was that, I don't know, it was just something about boxing that I just loved.
Okay, it looks like our caller is back on the line. Hi, welcome into RCO Radio. Do you have a question?
I was just listening intently to this lovely author, and I did think of one question that I noticed she was writing, and I was just wondering if I missed any of the publications that she wrote for, because I notice now that there are a lot of more women in front of the camera, as you were pointing out to her, and I thought perhaps maybe some of those articles and some of her writings led to, you know, pave the way for these women who are in front of the camera in sports now.
When I was working in the LA media, I actually used to do a lot of the Raiders publications work. I did a lot of work from them where I did their actual player interviews for their particular publication. I also did the same thing for the Dodgers, and I did some of that type of work for the Clippers as well, for their in-house magazine. And I also had a column that ran weekly for almost about 8 or 9 years in the LA Watch Times News.
That was an excellent question, caller. What is your name?
I'm Joyce. I'm calling from Chicago.
Joyce from Chicago, excellent question. Thank you so much for calling in this evening.
Oh, I'm loving the talk. It's very nice.
Well, please continue listening. We do appreciate your call. Thank you for dialing in. Did you say LA Watch Times News? That's a local publication distributed in the Southern California area, and you did write a column for them, a sports column for them, for a number of years. So that type of media writing also took you out on the field and kept you pretty much entrenched in the center of sports in California, yeah?
At the time that I was writing, like when I worked with the Dodgers, they had not had a female covering, you know, their team at that time. So I do believe that we did, you know, I did assist in breaking some barriers for what is happening today. That was really, at that time, it was not a really place for a woman, but they was trying to embrace the fact that, hey, we got to keep moving forward and doing something that's different. I found that you have to have a certain type of personality to actually do that, because you're really entering into a male-predominant world, and you can't step in asking them to adjust to you. You have to really adjust to them.
Let's talk a little bit about that adjustment. Initially, of course, it was probably very exciting
to
be a part of the professional sports field.
And I would say that, you know, but I can't remember my first day at Dodger Stadium. You talk about someone who was very, very nervous. when I went into the press box.
Were you allowed to go into the locker rooms?
Yeah, whatever the male writers did, you can actually do. I found that
you were one of the guys.
but I also found that as a woman, you had to be very, at least I was, you know, very conscious of the fact that you're in the male world. So even though I had the right to go into the male locker room, you had to know when to do it. You just had to do it a little bit differently. And so since I had built relationships with a lot of the players, I was able to walk up to them and say, hey, you know, when you finish getting dressed, I need to talk to you. And so they would come out and talk to me. Sometimes there's a rush story where you have to go in. But for the most part, I was able to do that, and it was okay. Because I still got what I wanted. It was just I did it in a different way.
And which leads back to player relations and building the relationship and the trust and them wanting to reciprocate by supporting you as one of the only females on the field. We have our caller, Joyce from Chicago. Are you back on the line with us?
I did just want to make a comment to her that I was unaware of, you know, the caliber of writing from her as a woman sports writer because, you know, me being a girl in a male family, I was, prone to sports. And we never, in this part of the country, hear about women writers, sports writers, and it's rare. And so it was
interesting.
Yeah, we don't have any, at least that I know of. And, you know, most of the sports writers in the two publications I read, the Tribune and the Sun-Times, don't really have women writers that I know of. I could be mistaken, but I'm not familiar with it. That's why I was so interested when I heard about this talk that this illustrious writer has so much history, and that was very interesting to me.
And I would also tell you that aside from that, you know, it's not just a lot of women, but you do not have a lot of black sports writers also. It's just the ability to have the power of the pen, and with so many of your athletes being African-American, it's really important that we do have a voice that kind of know a little bit about the background and can approach the situation a little bit differently and show
I would agree.
In a certain light.
I would certainly agree with
that.
When
I would go to, like, boxing matches and I was covering sports ringside, not only did you see a woman, you also didn't see a lot of black men.
Yeah, I see.
And I would also expect that, with that being the case, the players were welcoming to your presence on the field and in the locker room and within their circle, knowing that, there was some representation there that, as you said, did know who they were and did understand a little more about them as people.
Right. Well, they knew they could say certain things to me. They knew that they could say certain things to me that they probably couldn't say to other writers, that they probably wouldn't understand. And because we share a similar background, I kind of knew what to print and what not to print.
Yeah.
And that is important when you communicate with people, you know, the interpretation and, you know, reading in between the lines that you can say something, but they know what you mean and they know what to write. That's very important. So from football, you made the transition into boxing. You were a director of marketing and public relations for Forum Boxing. Let's talk about that.
Well, when I moved to Las Vegas, at the time, Jerry Buss, who was the owner of the Lakers, he also owned Forum Boxing. And for years, they had shows at the Forum, boxing shows at the Forum. And I covered a lot of those shows and became really close on a professional level with John Jackson, who was the president of Forum Boxing. And so when I moved to Vegas, little did I know, a year later, that he would end up moving Forum Boxing to Las Vegas, and that was after Jerry Buss moved the Lakers to the Staples Center. And so he sort of gave Forum Boxing to John Jackson, and John moved it to Las Vegas, and Hank showed up on my doorstep one day and said, hey, I want you to work with me on this fight. And we went on for another 4 years or so, 4 or 5 years.
So I wanted to ask her, did she
enjoy the big Vegas style boxing tickets, or the more local, smaller, intimate ones like she was doing in L.A. Because I've been to both types of boxing tickets, and I kind of like the little local ones that kind of showcase your local artists or artists from, you know, athletes from around the country that are up and coming.
So you like to be right there, close up, where,
yeah,
where all of the sweat and everything is flying all over you.
Yeah, and then you kind of get to know the boxers before they become, you know, well-known and contenders. But I thought that might be more exciting to get it in on the ground level. And then after they get big, you know, that's exciting too. But I found the small local fights that we have in our area a little more enjoyable, me, myself.
What about you,
Diana? What you see, Joyce, in the difference in the two types of fights is, you're right, you get to see raw talent when you're at the smaller shows and the local shows, and you get to see guys up and coming, which is really important. I think they both are exciting in a different way. Antonio Barrera was one of the fighters that fought at the Forum, and I saw him go from his first fight all the way through to being one of the top athletes in the world during his time that I was working with him.
Yeah.
So I do understand what you're saying when you can see someone go from that arena into your larger arenas and see them build, you know, their careers. But personally, I enjoy both. I enjoy both because I enjoy the sport of boxing.
I have one question to get in. Being that you've been up close and personal on the life of athletes in various different sports, you've been able to really see various different athletic regimens. What sport would you say you think personally has the toughest regimen?
I would have to say boxing. And the reason why I say
boxing,
that is
sure.
that they have the most strenuous workout of any sport because they have to build their bodies to take that type of abuse. When you're a football player, you're a running back, you're running up the middle, but you got a fullback blocking for you. In boxing, you're the only person in the ring, and you can't run and you can't hide. Okay, so that bell ring, that 3 minutes is a long time when you talk about having to have the stamina to do that. Most people, when they fight, the average person, they only fight for about a minute, and they're tired. So to be able to fight 3 minutes, with 10 rounds or 12 rounds, it takes tremendous ability. And their workout, if you sat there and watched their workout, you would be out of breath.
Wow.
Okay, we have not got a question in yet about the book, so I want to turn the conversation now over to World Champions Only, your new e-book that you will soon be publishing on the Internet. The book was very attracting to me when I read the synopsis of it as a woman. I was very attracted to the characters, the life, the personality that you were writing about, and your character development. Your writing style is very descriptive. What prompted you to create the main character in the book, Hawatha, Absolute Jordan, and where did you get that name from?
It is an unusual name. My late husband actually trained professional athletes, and Thomas Hearns, who is from the Midwest Coast of Chicago, was one of his fighters, and he actually came up with that particular name. It is very unusual. His character is probably a mixture of several different people that you know throughout as you go through boxing and people, you know, he's a mixture of a lot of experiences. But I wanted to show world champions and what that lifestyle was like and what it felt like to be a world champion. I wanted to capture that in the book. I also wanted to show, if someone read the book, I wanted them to be able to understand, like, how boxing works behind the scenes. A lot of times you'll see boxing stories, and it's kind of like the same kind of wrapped around guy comes from the ghetto and fights his way to the top. Well, this book is, they're already at the top. They're already world champions. So what is that lifestyle? What do they go through? You know, what is their training regimen? How do they work out the deals for these various fights? What are the undertones, and how do women play into this situation? And so I wanted to show it from all aspects context. So if you read the book, you would then have a pretty good understanding of boxing, how it works, the thought processes that go behind that sport.
You've got close personal ties, I know, with several top professional boxers. How do you view the industry for the future? When you work with athletes and you do, as you say, get to see the superior qualities many of them bring to the arena, would you say that it's a special talent when you encounter these athletes that are so superior in the ways that they are?
I would have to answer that question in that it does take a certain level of a certain type of personality to be a world champion. I would say in the sport of boxing, when I, you know, look at that particular sport, a lot of the talent is watered down in boxing. And if you were really involved in the sport in probably the 80s, you kind of realize that a lot of our other sports open up for athletes. You know, now you could be on a person's defensive line. You could be on the basketball court, baseball. These sports open up to a lot of your top athletes. So your great heavyweights are now on somebody's defensive line, which is somewhat worn down in the sport of boxing. And saw it coming, but it really was nothing.
Well, where is the sport of boxing? Is it having a slow turn?
Well, there are those that are still making a lot of money in boxing, but the talent is different. You know, when you think about the 80s, you think about some of the great fighters. There were tremendous fighters out there, and all of them could draw in their own right. So there was so much talent. You had your Sugar Ray Leonard. You had Thomas Hearns. You had Alexis Arguello. It was just the list was so long, you know, of the fighters that were out there that were really good. Like Mike McCallum. I mean, I can go on and on about the level of talent that was out there. So when you saw a boxing match, you didn't know who was going to win a lot of times. It was a toss-up as to who's going to win this fight. Today you can
because
watch.
Because the talent was so
fight.
Good.
Well, because the level
Do you
of
think
talent.
There's a chance that that talent is still there at that caliber, we just don't know about it? And we're going to have to go quickly because we're winding down. We're 1:55 until the end of the show.
No, I
Where
I
is the talent?
I do think they're on someone's defensive line. They're dribbling the ball down the court. They're doing other sports. They don't have to take it.
Either are on the body.
Well, I was glad to hear, and I'm going to get the book and try to read more.
All right. Thank you again for dialing in. And, Diana, I really thank you so much for dialing in and being part of our first show. It's been very, very interesting speaking with you. What you do in your industry is quite fascinating to me. You've done a lot and learned a lot. You have a lot to share. It's very important. I think your job has been more than just getting up, going to a day job every day. You've actually been paving the way and opening doors for future women, whether they are in professional sports through inheritance or by choice. Their walk will be easier because of women like you. So thank you. I do appreciate you dialing in, and I'm sure we'll continue this conversation because we didn't get a chance to speak as much as I wanted to about your book because your career is just so fascinating. So thank you so much for tuning in to RCO Radio. To all our listeners, thank you for listening in. Stay tuned for our next show coming up May 24th with guitar man Marlon Henderson.